me say, going back to the early part of your question, though, I mean, that's what this review of environmental factors is about. That's why it's 1,000 pages and taken 12 months to put together. It is not a surprise that we were going to do this. We have been consulting with the Gloucester Consultative Committee on no fewer than 16 times since mid-2012 that this is what our intention was, this is what we're going to do, and we're just really following through on that. Now, the Review of Environmental Factors, as I said, is the most comprehensive assessment of hydraulic fracturing ever undertaken in New South Wales. It's the first one to have gone through the process since the new regulatory regime has been set up in New South Wales. And in the end, it will be up to the New South Wales government to decide whether they give us the approval or not. And in that respect, we have no control.
Right, okay. Now, that review of environmental factors, did that take into account the recent incident up in Casino, where the hundreds of metres of pipe were blown out of the ground?
Well, I'm imagining the answer's no, because the event in Casino is relating to a high-pressure, tight gas well in a conventional field. It's nothing to do with coal seam gas. But that said... one of the things that the Review of Environmental Factors does cover is the health, safety and operation of the well to ensure that the people involved aren't going to be negatively impacted. But also remember, we've drilled the well, Bruce, that this is already an existing well. So all the pipes and all the things down the hole, they're already cemented in place. So there's absolutely no chance anyway that anything like that could happen. But I should remind listeners that well up in Casino, that was a conventional gas well. That's the sort of normal well that we've been producing gas from for 44 years in Eastern Australia. And that's the sort of things that can happen at very much, very much higher pressures that you get with conventional fields. Coal seam gas is very, very low pressure in comparison.
Well, conventional gas, you mean like a void underground, or did you say that was a shale gas, tight gas?
No, conventional gas means gas from a sandstone. Really, there are broadly three types of natural gas. You can get gas from sandstones, and that's called conventional gas, and therefore it's trapped sort of like the sandstone's like a sponge, and the little plankton and pieces of organic matter that were in that trapped over millions and millions of years get turned into oil and gas. And then you just drill into the sandstone, and under the pressure of the rocks around the gas and oil, it just squeezes it up to the surface. Now, that's very deep as well. Most of those wells in the world are more like sort of 2,000 or 3,000 metres under the ground, very much deeper than coal seam gas. So that's called conventional oil and gas, and that's the stuff that's been, well, the oil side of it's been produced for 160 years, I guess, and gas has been used in the world for probably 100 years. And in Australia, we started producing it in the late 60s. So that's what everyone around the place thinks natural gas is, and that's conventional gas. The second type is coal seam gas, and that's newer. That only started getting produced in Australia since the mid-90s and has been produced in New South Wales since the early 2000s. In fact, our operation at Camden has been producing now safely and effectively in the local community for 13 years. Now, that gas is gas from coal seams. It's the very same natural gas as you get in conventional gas. It's mainly methane, but it's coming from the coal process, and it's trapped in the little coal cracks that are naturally occurring within coal when you take the water off, and it flows, as we've discussed. And the last lot is called shale gas, and that's the one that you hear about in the US, where you have to fracture that really very, very, very high pressures, and much, much higher than you would ever use for coal seams. Crack the shale for hundreds of metres and flow the gas to the surface. And again, this is very, very deep. This usually occurs 3,000 plus metres under the ground. Again, very much deeper than coal seam gas. So all those different sorts of gas, if you like, conventional and unconventional, simply produce methane. And that's the same natural gas as the, 3.5 million Australians on the East Coast use it every day.
Yeah, David, We had an incident down here at Stratford when Malopo and Lucas were doing exploration and stuff like that, and we had water and gas blow out of a couple of wells that were up to 300 metres away from where they were doing their exploration and stuff like that. That sort of shows some sort of connectivity. Are you aware of what caused that problem, and have you done anything to alleviate that?
Well, Bruce, I'm not 100% sure of what caused that problem, although, as you pointed out, it's clearly the case that if you've got a coal well nearby, you need to be very mindful of that and be cautious. And yes, the answer is AGL has taken that into account and do take it into account. Consequently, what we do is we plug and abandon, and that's that process of injecting cement that I mentioned before, all the way from the top to the bottom, of any coal holes up to 500 metres from any of the well activities, either for fracture stimulation or whatever that we do. So 500 metres is a good setback, and we make sure that they're all effectively plugged and abandoned before we undertake any operations.
Right, okay. Well, look, Paul, thank you very much for your time today. I really appreciate it. You've given me quite a bit more than I was expecting and than I was told I was going to get. Again, that's AGL doing the right thing by us. Again, thank you very much, and I'd like to, if I could, at some time speak to John Ross in regards to the hydrology and get a little bit more of an idea on there. But just one last question. Have you dewatered at all over at Walk Ivory?
Not yet, Bruce. No, the well hasn't even been perforated. So the first thing we'll do is create the holes, and so then the water will be starting to be dewatered once we've fracture stimulated.
Right, okay. Well, look, just one last thing. I did an interview with Scott McDonald, a member of the Legislative Council, and it was also a member of the Coal Seam Gas Inquiry that was sitting in New South Wales a year or so ago. And Scott McDonald came out with the statement that if they think they can fix coal seams or aquifers hundreds of metres down, that's fantasy land. Do you have a response to that?
Well, I think the best response came from Professor Mary O'Kane, who's the New South Wales chief scientist and engineer. She concluded in her recent review that as long as best practice engineering and good solutions are applied to this operation, there should be no need to believe that we can that we can't do these operations with low and negligible impacts on the environment, on the health of the people of Gloucester and the beneficial aquifers.
Right, but just to the point of the question, though, if an aquifer was damaged down a couple of hundred metres, Scott's saying that it's fantasy land to say that you can fix it. Are you saying that you can fix aquifers hundreds of metres underground?
Well, I don't know what damaging and fixing actually means. All I can say is that if the question is about leakage of a well into an aquifer, or perhaps the aquifer leaking into the well, I'm not sure which, if that occurs, then there is absolutely things we can do. We can seal off the connections between the well and the aquifer. Absolutely, we can do that. Even if we don't do it right the first time, the reason you pressure test all the cement and the steel pipe that we put in there is to just check that very thing. We have four layers of protection, two of cement and two of very thick steel pipe, separating all the beneficial aquifers from the well. And we have lots of tests that we undertake at the time of drilling to ensure that that there's absolutely no leakage connection into aquifers. But other than that, I don't understand what damage he might be referring to.
Right, okay. And what would be the shear factor of these wells with their casing and their cement and stuff like that? How much pressure would be required to shear one of these?
Look, I'm not quite sure what shearing you refer
break to actually like
I'm
to
not,
snap
I'm
to
not an
if we had a
drilling as I say what I can absolutely say is AGL is committed to ensure that when we drill our wells we use engineering best practice, we have lots of very well tested and normal things that we've been doing for many years to ensure that, you know, the beneficial aquifers are properly separated from the wellhead. We are very concerned about that. We make sure that we do a great job at that. And consequently, our operations, particularly in Camden, which we've been undertaking, as I said before, for 13 years, are really showing that we can do this without having any adverse impact on aquifers or the local community.
Okay, Paul, look, thank you very much, and we look forward to having you on Buckets Radio again, and we might be able to get a bit of an interview with John Ross in regards to some hydrology.
No problem, Bruce. Thanks for the opportunity.
Well, thank you, Paul Ashby from AGL, the General Manager of Commercial Development of Upstream Gas. He's given us quite a bit of time today. So thank you very much, Paul.